It is 3:15. I call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Present are Representatives Colom, Carrick, Burke, Fields, and Hall. Thank you, as always, to Nicole Bearden and Zach Lawhorn for tech and teleconferencing support. Our first order of business today is House Bill 30. Representative Holland's staff is here. Please come forward and present this bill. Thank you. Briefly is what? Okay, back on the record. Mr. Ebersold, please proceed with your presentation.
Hi. Cameron Ebersold, for the record, I'm a staff to Representative Kai Holland, and I'm here to present on House Bill 30, Office of Entrepreneurship. Essentially, as of right now in the state of Alaska, our economic outlook is not hot. We are projecting slow economic growth in a lot of our key industries, including expecting with some job lots, and we are seeing talent out migration, and what this spells for the state of Alaska is a need to rethink its economic development strategy. And that is what House Bill 30 is proposing. We need to diversify and support our emerging sectors, and this means in seeing and investing into the state's ability to see new businesses and startups, particularly ones that are homegrown and solve local problems. Our comprehensive economic development strategy that was put out emphasizes these emerging sectors. Research both in Alaska and nationally shows that new businesses are responsible for almost every new job that is created in an economy. These new businesses create new community wealth. They create new jobs. They diversify goods and services. The statistic on the slide here: every 1% increase in the U.S. entrepreneurship rate, the poverty rate decreases by 2%. These are outcomes we would love to see in Alaska. And this is emphasized particularly in the Alaska level, that in the State of Entrepreneurship report that was written by the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development showed that startups added 4,000 to 6,000 jobs to the economy every single year, and 89% of Alaska's net employment growth was attributed to firms aged 5 years or younger. And that's what takes us to the House Bill 30. House Bill 30 would create an Office of Entrepreneurship. And this Office of Entrepreneurship would be focused on promoting entrepreneurship and helping to accelerate the growth of Alaska's startup sector. This office would be both responsible for connecting new businesses to services throughout the state of Alaska, including the economic development organizations, the regional development corporations, the ARDRs, the any number of the different parts of our fragmented startup ecosystem would be connected to them. They would also be responsible for furnishing information to these new businesses, coordinating between these different organizations. And they would also be required to produce an annual report on how legislation passed in by this body would affect new businesses throughout the state. In state affairs, the previous committee of referral for this bill, we made some changes. Primarily, the most substantial change was in the A version of the bill. There was the new businesses would be able to receive an exemption on their fees for their business licenses. After discussion with the department and the committee, we realized this yielded large costs to the state, or rather foregone revenue to the state, and the actual net benefits of that were unclear. And we had tested this a couple years ago during the pandemic. These business license fees were waived by the state broadly, and while that did yield lots of more business licenses being taken out, it really didn't lead to more businesses being created. And as it stands right now, the $50 cost was not really going to be seen as a barrier to most serious business starters. And so with the cost, that was taken out entirely. The other key changes were more to be provide some specifics that came up. Both the department and committee members had asked for specificity in the language in terms of what this office was going to accomplish. And so we rewrote the duties section to add more clarity, including the coordination between the various entities throughout the state to meet its goals. And tightening up the definition of new business in the state. We already have a language for Alaska bidder preference in statute, and in a lot of ways you could really think about some of the goals of this Office of Entrepreneurship is to grow businesses internally in the state that would now qualify for Alaska bidder preferences, since that's the kind of businesses we want to encourage. No questions, it looks like. I'll go more. This little flowchart right here is a sort of a basic map of the startup process, and it's color-coded. Right now in green, we see business planning. That's what currently the state of Alaska is doing really well through the Small Business Development Center. But there's other parts earlier that in this process that the state of Alaska really, really needs to improve. The Small Business Development Center focuses on what kinds of businesses might be called bankable, which is, you know, if you're for example starting up a new laundromat, you know, unless you're doing something really, really innovative, you can go to the Small Business Development Center and you can, you know, they can help you, you know, learn from what other laundromats have done, and they'll help you get that business started. If you're doing something, you know, unique or done before, that might not be called bankable, but would be called investable. And it's the creation of these kinds of innovative businesses that are what we're trying to target. But right now, we don't necessarily have the connectivity in our startup ecosystem to enable that, and that's what this Office of Entrepreneurship will do for us, and it's focusing on these first four steps. Do you have anything you want to add there?
No, we're right on.
From House Bill 30, we would expect that in the long run, we would see lots of new jobs and businesses being created in the state of Alaska. It's unclear necessarily exactly what these would look like, but hence innovation. So, but any person interested in starting a new business would be, we would expect them to see reduced costs as they are able to navigate the ecosystem more effectively. And this improved connectivity between these different organizations, both regional and, you know, through the, you know, our universities, would really create a nice fertile ground for businesses to flourish here. And the long-term goal of this is that, you know, your children and would have access to the jobs of the future and don't have to leave the state in order to get experience and work in growing sectors.
Okay, thank you. Representatives Holland, Sadler, and Nelson got here around 3:17. Do members have questions for Representative Holland or staff? We do have invited testimony, so you can also mull those questions over while we go to invite testimony. Representative Sadler.
I just want to clarify, we'll have the opportunity to ask the sponsor questions and discuss after the invited testimony.
Absolutely.
Great, thanks.
Okay, I think first up in invited testimony is Brittany Sione Hayward. Thank you for being here.
Hello, my name is Brittany Choney Haywood. I want to thank you for having me here today. I will say I'm currently a State of Alaska employee, but I'm not here in that capacity today. I'm here as a private citizen to discuss a prior role that I held. For a brief background, I am an economist by training. I've been lucky enough to teach economics at several universities. I've also was honored to serve as the Director for Economic Development, the division, or DED, from March 2015 to December of 2018. So that's kind of why I'm here, is to discuss that experience and what I accomplished. So during that time, the division was split into two to three main sections. We had a lot of changes over my tenure. The first was the Revolving Loan Fund, which is now currently the Division of Investments. The second was a small group of staff that worked directly on economic development projects. And then the third was two staff members that facilitated the visitor industry and tourism work. These staff were laid off during my second year as the director, as well as were about six of the economic development staff as part of budget reductions. The travel and tourism funding then went to the Alaska Travel Industry Association, and I do believe is still continuing. The Division of Investments does provide crucial support for the fishing industry. It also facilitates other loan programs for other industries, including microloan, mariculture, rural development, and small business development. As my tenure, just to highlight a few of the things that we did during there, we did, and probably the largest accomplishment, was the first ever statewide comprehensive economic development strategy, or sometimes referred to as a SEDS. And this allowed for further grants to come into the state through the Economic Development Association or Administration. DED also facilitated at that time the ARDER program and worked closely with those entities on the economic development projects. We worked with the business, with the Alaska University of Alaska Business Enterprise Institute entities, including Center for Economic Development, Small Business Development Center, and the Manufacturing Extension Partnership. We worked with other economic development agencies such as non-ARDER economic development entities, Juneau Economic Development Council, Spruce Roots, Chamber of Commerce, ADA, as well as the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. We provided research for part of the time and ran the visitor industry support. We did compile at that time quarterly economic data and trends report, and we worked closely with the Center for Economic Development on nascent industry research, including what actions would be needed to grow those industries in Alaska. So I'd say I'm very proud of the work that we accomplished while I was at DED. We had amazing staff, and there were many other projects that I haven't listed. I think one of the biggest things was, while I was director, We had a philosophy of growing our own, and I think that that's important in Alaska. There are many challenges that face businesses in Alaska and even more vulnerable as startups. So in looking at kind of this bill that's before you today, I think that there are important pieces of both micro and macro work that are needed to support economic development in the state. I think it's important to have some entities spearhead and facilitate that work. The Office of Entrepreneurship would be able to pick up probably some of those pieces that I'm not sure are happening anymore, but that had occurred under the Division of Economic Development. Although I do think that it's slightly different in that it would be more targeted and focused on the startup ecosystem and entrepreneurship. And I would say that finally that I do fully support still that grow your own mentality. I think it's important for Alaska. There's a lot of challenges that businesses face in Alaska that they might not face elsewhere, but they want to be here and they want to grow their business here. And with that, I will conclude, and I would be happy to take any questions.
Questions for Ms. Juni Hayward. Rep Garrett.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you for being here and for your testimony. Okay. I was hoping you could elaborate just a little bit. You mentioned something about some funding, either through SEDS or another group, being redirected towards tourism marketing through ATIA. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, the tourism visitor industry funding has had a little bit of a pendulum history, and that it's swung kind of back and forth between being facilitated either through the state or through a private entity, nonprofit like ATIA. And so at the time, it had been with ATIA. When I came in as the director, it sat with the Division of Economic Development, and then during my tenure went back out to ATIA.
Okay, so I hope. Through the chair, and so it wasn't so much funds got taken away from that economic development as opposed to more just shifting them back to where they had been. I was just curious about how that looked.
Through the chair, Representative Carey, yes, that is correct. It's just been a little bit of a pendulum as to where that money has resided, either within a state entity or with an outside entity.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Sadler has a question.
Thank you. Through the chair, ma'am, you said that although you are a state of Alaska employee, you're here speaking as a private person.
That is correct.
You are here on your own time, right?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I currently have approved leave.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Next up in invited testimony is Jared Reynolds from the Center for Economic Development at the University of Alaska.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on the creation of the Office of Entrepreneurship. My name is Jared Reynolds. I serve as the director for the Center for Economic Development at the University of Alaska Anchorage. So I joined you today representing the Center for Economic Development, but I'm also joining you as someone who has been an entrepreneur and who has developed and run a range of startup and entrepreneur programs, including business accelerators and other resources, both in rural areas and targeted at kind of high potential and scalable industries. At the Center for Economic Development, we're deeply embedded in Alaska's entrepreneurial ecosystem in several key ways. First, we provide direct entrepreneurial support. We run programs including Upstart Alpha, which is a 12-week accelerator that is designed to support emerging businesses across Alaska to refine their market strategies, clarify their business models, and map out the steps that they need to take to launch and scale successfully. Through this program, we've served over 60 entrepreneurs from all parts of the state. And it's really an example of an important component of what Alaska's entrepreneurial ecosystem is. We have a real focus on supporting those early stage companies as they determine the feasibility of their idea and they connect with the resources they need to scale. Secondly, we work closely with municipalities and local economic development organizations, including the ARDRs. This collaboration gives us really a frontline perspective on the challenges and the opportunities for entrepreneurs and economic development more generally in Alaska and in its different regions. Although I'm usually based in Anchorage, I'm calling you now from Kodiak, where I spent the morning working on a TELT feasibility study project that we have. And I highlight this just because it's a great example of an industry that has potential to support new business development in really scalable companies in Alaska. Third, we conduct applied research with the goal of informing decision makers in Alaska. Our research has spanned a diverse range of topics, including opportunities within target industries. But you might be particularly interested in our report on the state of entrepreneurship in Alaska. And we're currently updating this, but it really provides critical insights into the strengths and weaknesses of our current entrepreneurial landscape in the state. I wanted to highlight or share a few key data points from this report that I thought could be helpful as you're considering the Office of Entrepreneurship, and highlight three key areas, which is business creation, business survival, and the scalability and growth of businesses in our state. Even business creation, Alaska is a state where people really start businesses. By some metrics, we rank third in the nation for the number of individuals who start businesses, and these entrepreneurs are really essential to Alaska's economy. They create jobs and vital amenities that really touch all parts of our state. So 33% of Alaskan businesses are less than 5 years old, and over half are less than 10 years old. These are creating jobs in all parts of Alaska. Nearly every job created in Alaska is started by a business that is less than 5 years old. Additionally, Alaska is particularly successful at reaching a wide range of entrepreneurs. We trend younger. We have a higher proportion of women that start businesses than the national average. And we reach a lot of key demographic groups that creates economic opportunity throughout our state. Within business survival, how our businesses survive in Alaska, we are pretty comparable to the rest of the state. Or to the national average. Through the five-year mark, we're about average, and we fall a little bit behind after that. Where Alaska really struggles is with business growth and scalability. Despite a high rate of business formation, we lag significantly behind in cultivating and retaining scalable businesses. We see this impacting businesses at each stage of their development. We're generally quite a bit behind in the receipt of SBIR and SDIS. FTTR funding, which is a key metric for potential commercialization of scalable businesses. By some metrics, we rank 49th nationally in high growth density and 44th in the share of scalable businesses that we're able to support. And this really highlights a critical issue that we hope the Office of Entrepreneurship can address. Many businesses in Alaska are born out of necessity rather than opportunity. And while necessity-driven entrepreneurship fills important community needs, scalable businesses are essential for creating high-quality jobs, increasing income, and driving innovation in developing new industries. Alaska currently has several impressive and impactful programs and organizations that support entrepreneurs, including Upstart Alpha. So we see an opportunity to really build a robust entrepreneurial pipeline that will support entrepreneurs at each stage of their development and create really a more vibrant and robust and stronger Alaskan economy. So I appreciate you taking my testimony regarding some of the data that we've collected and the work we've done, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thanks, Mr. Reynolds. Questions for Jared Reynolds, Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Reynolds, I'm afraid I missed your initial credential, but I'm just going to ask you, what other states are situated similarly to Alaska in some of the metrics you're talking about in terms of innovation or started new businesses? Who are our peers, I guess I'm right.
So I'm the director of the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development. I don't know if I have the perfect answer to your question. I'm happy to follow up. I think, Alaska is unique, obviously, as we all know, in its remoteness, that it's expensive to run a business here, especially a scalable business that exports a good to the lower 48, and that makes it hard to compete. So obviously, similarly, is Hawaii. So we sort of have this similarity to Hawaii, as well as some other more rural-based states. But there are not a lot of other states that really fall in that same path. We are somewhat unique, really, in our challenges in supporting the scalable businesses, also being really successful at other parts of entrepreneurship. So Alaska kind of sits on its own a little bit there, in being, partially really successful and partially having these real challenges at supporting those growth-oriented businesses.
Okay. Oh. Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Reynolds, a question I'll ask you, and I'll probably ask the sponsor as well. We already have a Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development charged with economic development in Alaska. And in many ways, this bill proposes to replicate, in my view, many of those functions. So, sir, you're an academic. You're involved in this world. Where is the state of Alaska falling short in economic development under its current statutes that justifies the addition of this new layer of government?
I'm not sure that I'm the best person to answer that. I can sort of speak just from the work that we do. You know, again, like economic development and organizations in Alaska, facing challenges. They do this incredible work throughout our state. I think they are always, seeking, additional resources, support, connections to make them more successful, to allow them to do that. But what I kind of hear from some of the economic development organizations that we work with around entrepreneurship is wanting the ability to bring some of these programming, some of the programs, some of the resources to their region to support entrepreneurs. I think the second part of that is leveraging our research universities. A lot of promising technology tends to come out of universities. So leveraging the research that we have to support commercialization or business and company formation.
Is that my phone?
Sure.
Thank you. But Mr. Reynolds, through the chair, specifically, where are we falling short? Those are all nice things you describe, but where are we not doing them?
I think, where Alaska differs a little bit is in the number of entrepreneur resources, in the connections and sort of flow of how an entrepreneur navigates our ecosystem. So I think that there are other states that have really built sort of an easy sort of pipeline for entrepreneurs to flow through from an early stage company, scalable company, to an accelerator, an incubator. Definitely access to capital, I think, is a specific area that is challenging in Alaska. Diverse types of capital from, I mentioned SBIR and SSTTR, which is sort of that federal funding that supports early stage research, where Alaska usually ranks 49th or 50th for receipt of those, to private sector investment into companies that support the next stage of scale. So it's a struggle, I think, to support companies, although we have some really impressive programs, to have that robust ecosystem that supports companies at each stage of their development.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Let's go to questions for the bill sponsor. Any questions for the bill sponsor before we move on to the next agenda item? Representative Colon.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Fields. Through the chair, so my question, I have lots of questions, but I'll just ask this one today. So this annual report, it's on page 3, line 23. So on or before January 1, the office shall prepare a report detailing legislation enacted in the previous year that affects businesses, and then the report comes back to the legislature. I'm not sure what this is trying to accomplish because, we should know how it's affecting businesses. We passed the legislation. I'm not sure we need a report on it because I think a lot of people rely on the Chamber of Commerce to do that kind of thing, to talk to us about how legislation is impacting businesses. I'm just kind of trying to figure out what your intent, what your thought around this is.
Great. So Kai Holland, House District 9 representative, and I think some of this annual report issue, the staff, Cameron Ebersole, can answer. And if we want to go back to the role of the DCCED role with Ms. Saoni here, we've got somebody who's been in that role who might be able to tie into that. What I'd like to focus in on this report, though, is the focus that this is really looking at the impact on new businesses and to what degree the legislation is helping create new business opportunities. And I would suggest that that's an area that needs a distinct focus. When I've looked at the legislation that I'm already looking at in this process, whether it's DC DEC and environmental monitoring and looking at the way that monitoring is being done. That could be done in a way that creates a new business opportunity for Alaskans, or it could be done in a way that allows a company from Washington to continue to do the work for us. There's been other training opportunities. When I asked about how the training was being done, where we've passed a bill, that could be an opportunity for Alaskans to be doing that. But it's still set up so that it's written in a way that it allows folks from the lower 48 to do that work. So that's the kind of look that I'm looking to be done there in terms of that report. And more you want to add to that?
Just one other question.
Of course.
So there's a new version. And we don't have to go into detail about this, Chair Fields, but I'm trying to figure out the fiscal notes, because the initial version had some pretty hefty fiscal notes. So I didn't know if there was new fiscal notes or if there was one that was eliminated, or just kind of what's the status of the fiscal note?
Yeah, so there's two new fiscal notes that you've got on basis. Again, okay. Kai Holland. You know, what I'd like to say first off is, I am expecting that this work is going to cost money. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that the economic development line item for DCCED right now has exactly $0 the last couple of years in it. So what we're proposing is to start doing some work that is not getting done in this area of developing businesses in our emerging sectors and diversifying our economy. To that end, there's two fiscal notes, I believe, that are in there. The huge change in the fiscal note was we eliminated the impact of getting rid of the business license fee. So one of the fiscal notes you had before was a fairly significant $2 million or so lost revenue. That's gone.
Okay.
We also, in clarifying the duties and the role of this office, I think with the input of folks in the prior committee, did a better job in this version to clarify the scope and trying to make it clear that this office's job is not to be the startup support center. It's not doing all the hand-holding for everybody. It's not trying to replicate what is being done well by many other organizations. It's to look more strategically at how we're helping startups connect up with the state, how we're looking to connect up these different programs. So that allowed the fiscal note to come down from 6 people down to 3 people, and that dropped it down significantly. The other change we made that didn't have a big impact on the fiscal note was I had wanted to see the annual report on the purchasing activity of the state done every year so we could watch to see where is the state spending its money, in particular, where is it spending its money out of Alaska or not with startups. And we moved that back to every 2 years so it aligned with the existing 2-year cycle that the reporting is already being done on purchasing to avoid some of the impact of trying to double that workload. So all this was trying to streamline getting the value out of this without creating a lot of unnecessary overhead.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and on that point, I might wonder if the report should say may instead of shall. So if nothing of substance happens, they don't send a report about nothing. Kind of leave that to you all to advise us on.
Yeah. To the chair, the current report that we're attaching this to is a long-standing report on purchasing activity that the legislature's wanted for a number of years to see. So rather than creating a new report, we took the existing purchasing report that's already in statute and added on a couple new elements, and those are found in the middle of page 2, that simply augmented the current report. But again, I had originally proposed that we do it every single year because I wanted us to be more attentive to this issue. But they were already on a 2-year cycle. We took it back to a 2-year cycle to avoid the extra work of doing that.
Thank you for that clarification. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Holland, kind of the same questions I asked of Mr. Reynolds a little bit earlier. The Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development is already the State Department, which has some pretty broad responsibilities. And I'll quote from AS 4433-020A30, responsible for establishing and activating programs to achieve balanced economic development in the state and advise the governor on economic development. So balance does not presume new. It may be new, maybe new-ish, maybe established, maybe long-term. There's other places where the department is supposed to administer economic development programs of the state and perform all other duties and powers necessary or proper in relation to economic development and planning for the state. it would appear to me that that language and statute currently does everything that you want your Innovation Council to do. So my question is, why is it necessary to establish another lever of government to do what the department's already responsible for doing?
Sure. Thank you. Through the chair. And to clarify, this is not the Innovation Council bill. That's House Bill 34. And this is House Bill 30, that's establishing the Office of Entrepreneurship. To your point, though, I agree that the broad scope that's outlined in statute right now is there. This is specifically bringing focus to new businesses and startups. This is the engine that is responsible for 89% of our net new job creation. It's what's create 5,000 jobs a year. This is bringing specificity and focus to the startup ecosystem. The current role of DCED has done a good job of taking care of primarily, if you look at the budget and activity, the business licensing and the corporate transactions. If you want to set up a company and need to turn in your biannual reports and everything, they've got an engine that supports that activity, and they've got an engine around the insurance side of things. This is bringing back a function and a role that is certainly within statutes that they could do. This is bringing specificity on what we want them to specifically focus on with this area that ties in really specifically with the emerging sectors. And this, I would draw you back to the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategies document, the SEDS document, and look at Goal 2 and Goal 3. I would submit that Goal 2 and Goal 3 that have to do with diversifying our economy and supporting entrepreneurship are in words. We're trying to put this into action.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I stand corrected through the chair, Representative Holland, about the confusion between the two different innovation versus entrepreneurship. Looking at page 3 of the bill, starting with line 23, the question of the annual report, office shall prepare a report detailing basically past legislation. Does not already our basis system offer pretty easy access to reports on past legislation? So why is it necessary to have specific language in this bill ordering this office to do something that's essentially already being done, or is available, rather?
Through the chair, I would want you to focus in on line 24 here, that specifically is looking at the question of to what degree does legislation support, hinder, or otherwise affect new businesses. BASIS provides us really an amazing array of tools to access the work that is done, but not the impact that it has. And this is specifically looking at that legislation to assess to what degree it's helping, hindering, or affecting startup businesses. I appreciate that BASIS has got a lot of raw data in there, but no one's looking at the question of did it help us create a new business in Alaska.
Okay.
Question the reader would ask.
Very good. So the amendment deadline for this bill is 4 p.m. Tuesday, March 18th. And we will return.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Did you say tomorrow?
Yep.
Isn't that a little bit precipitous?
I think it's a fairly simple bill.
Well, that's 24 hours from tonight.
It is exactly 24 hours from right now.
That's a big hurry, Mr. Chair. I don't like it.
Okay.
Can you extend that a little bit more? Maybe Thursday?
No.
Why not?
The next order of business is House Bill 75, Permanent Fund, Employment, and Eligibility. Representative Sadler, we're going to move on to the next item.
I understand that.
The next item of business is House Bill 75. Representative Bynum and his staff are here. We did set an amendment deadline for 10 a.m. this morning, and I'll fully confess I had contemplated an amendment, and upon further consideration and discussion with the Permanent Fund staff, did not introduce it. Yes, come forward, Representative Bynum. Do members have questions for Representative Bynum before we go to public testimony? Okay, not seeing any. I will open public testimony. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to offer public testimony? It looks like the answer is no. I don't see anyone online for public testimony, so I'm going to close public testimony. Okay. Do any members have comments or questions before we take action on this bill? Yes, Representative Clum.
Thank you, Chair Fields. So there was some question around the NOAA employees, and you guys had found out some information. I just wanted to see if you could clarify, because it was amended in the committee prior, and I wasn't really clear on what you guys had found out about that, if you could just share.
Thank you. First of all, Jeremy Bynum, Representative for House District 1. I want to thank Co-Chair Fields and Co-Chair Hall and the committee for hearing this bill and having us here today to ask questions. And through the chair to Representative Coulomb specifically, we did find some additional information that I think it really backs up probably the rationale for why it's included. And if it's okay with the chair, I'd turn it over to Mr. Shaw for a more detailed explanation.
Thank you, Representative Bynum. Thank you, Co-Chair Fields, through the chair to Representative Coulomb. It was a good exercise to truly dive into. I probably know now way more about the Commission Corps of NOAA and the United States Public Health Service than I should. But we find a lot of similarities with those two additional uniformed services in addition to our standard armed forces, all the way from the simple fact that the Commission Corps, both NOAA and the Public Health Service, are required to accept deployment orders when they are received. There are extreme hardship exemptions that are allowed in cases of life-threatening illness or the death of a family member, but otherwise, both NOAA and the USPHS, those officers, if they declined a deployment, would be subject to disciplinary action, including potentially the stripping of their commission. And so other things all the way to these officers are allowed to attend the Naval War College and the Army War College. They are entitled to receive TRICARE benefits, PA benefits. They receive tuition assistance under the post 9/11 GI Bill. They are allowed to join the several different officer associations that also only allow membership from the Armed Services and NOAA and USPHS. These folks are also entitled to receive Arlington National Cemetery burials as well. And so essentially the main difference under both the United States Code and in practicality under the different military-related directives and the different department directives for both NOAA and USPHS, the only real difference is they do not carry a firearm.
And Representative Clem, the other question I had to do with students at colleges and whether they returned home from a break. And I had wondered, should we be making it easier for students from wealthy families at private colleges to not come back to Alaska? And basically the Permanent Fund Division explained that they do a lot of paperwork now looking at whether students come back over the break or not. So setting aside the issue of whether these maybe wealthier, potentially not wealthier students should get the dividend, it is administratively more efficient to do what's in the bill right now, hence the lack of an amendment before you. So appreciate the discussion on those last time. Other discussion or questions for Representative Bynum before we take action on the bill? Okay, Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move to report HB 75 version 34-LS0475/N out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay. Seeing no objection, House Bill 75 is reported from committee. Please stick around and sign the paperwork. That concludes our agenda.
Mr. Chairman,
House Labor
Mr.
and
Chairman,
Commerce.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Regarding House Bill 30, which we heard just a few minutes ago, that was our committee's first hearing on House Bill 30. You heard invited testimony only. You set an amendment deadline for 10 a.m. tomorrow, which means this committee goes till about 4 o'clock. That gives at best 4 hours to get amendments drafted, considered, drafted by legal, and back to the committee. I think that that is precipitous and unfair to the committee and to the public.
I think I set the amendment deadline for 4 p.m. tomorrow.
4 p.m.
Sorry. 4 p.m. Yeah.
Plenty of time then.
So that was my mistake if I said 10. I said wanted to say 4. Okay.
And also, Chair?
Yes.
If we are having problems getting it back from legal, is there some flexibility tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so that concludes our agenda. We will next meet at 3:15 on Wednesday, March 19th.